In August 1945, the U.S. dropped an atomic bomb on Hiroshima, Japan. The city was destroyed and more than 100,000 people were killed. And this week, the person with the sole authority to launch America's nuclear weapons, President Joe Biden, will visit the city. He's there to attend the G7 summit. As NPR's Scott Detrow reports, the trip comes at a time of rising nuclear tension around the globe.
On the 75th anniversary of the bombing, in the middle of his presidential campaign, Biden wrote that Hiroshima reaches through history to remind us of the hideous damage nuclear weapons can inflict and our collective responsibility to ensure that such weapons are never again used. On Thursday, he arrives there as a man who holds that responsibility in his hands. Biden won't be the first sitting president to visit Hiroshima. That was Barack Obama.
Hiroshima teaches this truth. Technological progress without an equivalent progress in human institutions can doom us.
In 2016, Obama visited the city's Peace Memorial. John Wolfstahl helped Obama plan that trip and worked on broader nuclear nonproliferation during the administration. He says Biden's upcoming trip isn't quite the same. Then Obama was making a clear decision to visit Hiroshima and confront what happened there. Biden, on the other hand, is coming to attend the G7, where he and other world leaders will discuss a wide range of topics. Still, Wolfstahl says the trip will inevitably carry heavy symbolism.
You have a sitting U.S. president, the man with control over the world's most powerful nuclear arsenal, going to the first place where nuclear weapons were used. That has impact.
That's especially true at a moment where nuclear tension is higher than at any point since the end of the Cold War.
The invasion by Russia of Ukraine and nuclear threats to back it up, ongoing testing of missile capabilities by North Korea, the growth of China's arsenal.
President Vladimir Putin and other top Russian officials have repeatedly threatened to use nuclear weapons in Ukraine. Biden has repeatedly responded.
Russia would be making an incredibly serious mistake for it to use a tactical nuclear weapon.
Susan Burke says she's been shocked by Putin's nuclear blustering.
Even in the coldest days of the Cold War, the U.S. and the Soviets continued to carry on a very substantive dialogue on nonproliferation issues because they were mutually concerned about the threat of further proliferation.
Burke worked on nuclear issues at the State Department for decades. Like other nuclear experts, she's been especially alarmed at how many times Putin has pointed to Hiroshima and Nagasaki and the fact that it was the U.S. who first used nuclear weapons against another nation.
The fact that it was done once doesn't mean that it would be okay for someone to do it again.
Burke has signed onto a letter urging Biden to take advantage of his visit to the site of the first nuclear attack and deliver a major speech on nuclear threats. Regardless of where and when it happens, John Wolfstahl says Biden does need to lay out a clear policy, and soon, on how to de-escalate all the growing nuclear threats the world is facing.
What is the policy that's going to tie these different pieces together on China, on Russia, on North Korea, on Iran, on our own nuclear arsenal? And how are we going to try to turn the tide, which I think most objective people would recognize has been very negative?
A National Security Council spokesperson says Biden will, quote, pay his respects to the innocent who lost their lives, and will, quote, reaffirm the U.S.'s commitment to nuclear nonproliferation, but the broader G7 agenda will remain the focus. Still, Biden is expected to begin the summit with a visit to Hiroshima's Peace Memorial alongside other G7 leaders. And they may also meet with survivors of the bombing. Scott Detrow, NPR News, Washington.